All right. We've been talking about a few different things as far as spiritual warfare goes, spiritual battle. Anybody remember things we've covered so far? What's that? Rejection, yeah. Guilt, yeah. Shame. You should be ashamed of yourself. Does anybody remember any of the points of those topics that we talked about? What did we say about shame? It's a shame we don't remember. Sorry, yeah. No, I don't mean to shame you for not remembering. I'm sorry. That was not my intention. Right? We were talking about how easy it is to use shame as a tool, right? And how the enemy uses it against us. And how we're not called to use shame as the church, right? Well, let's jump into it here. Got a lot of stuff to get through. Hopefully I can keep it all straight this morning. But God's good. Let's see. I've even got some notes on my phone. I got notes all over here. I should keep them all in one book, but this is how my brain works, so we'll just go with it. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses here. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun. I love that, son of Nun. I had a friend who would always say, Joshua, son of Nun, every time he saw me. And it was like, okay, man, you can calm down. But anyway, he literally said, Joshua, son, like every time. And we worked together, so he would see me in the hallway four times a day. So anyway, Moses' assistant, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River. So God is speaking to Joshua as he's about to take over leadership of the Israelites. Right? We all know what's going on here. Clarity is always good, though. And so the first thing that happens is God declares to Joshua what the plan is here, right? The time has come for you to lead these people. It says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you'll be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north. From the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. And so he says, I'm going to give you a promise. Joshua, this is my promise to you. Wherever you set your foot, you'll be on land I've given you. And then he gives him another promise here. He says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I'll be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So God gives Joshua these promises. What kind of things do you fear? What are you afraid of? Can I tell you a nightmare I had this week? It was scary. I was telling my wife about it, and she was like, well, duh, that's for your sermon. That's part of your sermon. I was like, really? Oh, yeah, I'm talking about fear. Right. So it was Thursday, I think. I had this really scary nightmare, and I was prepping my sermon. And I got up here to preach, but I had no notes. And my PowerPoint didn't work. And I had nothing. Like, there was nothing but me up here. And I was like, and then I woke up. And that was my nightmare. I'm not kidding. Like, it was terrifying. I was very shaken by that nightmare. Now, you may say, like, oh, Pastor, you'd be fine. No. No. I mean, maybe, but only by the Lord's grace. So The Holy Spirit. Yeah, exactly. That was my nightmare this week. I mean, what are you afraid of? What are people generally afraid of? What's that? Darkness? Yeah. Afraid of getting the flu. There you go. You must wash your hands a lot then. The unknown? Yeah. Failure? Yeah, that's a big one. We've talked about that before. What else are we afraid of? Childbirth. There you go. Well, maybe there's a bit of fear there. Ask my wife about that. That's why we have two children and not three. But anyway, I love you. Yeah. sorry. Sometimes I gotta, it's like a comedian sometimes. You just gotta keep some of those things inside, you know? It's just like, just don't. Anyway. Here's some biblical examples of people being afraid. Genesis 3, verse 10. He, being Adam, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Right? This is the first time the word afraid appears in the Bible. First time we were scared of God seeing us. Right? In our birthday suits. This is still one that people have, I'm sure, right? The fear of, you know, people have the nightmare of like being in front of a bunch of people and forgetting their pants or something, right? That would be my other nightmare. My flies open or something, you know? That would be terrible. John 7, verse 13 says, yet no one was speaking openly of him, him being Jesus, for fear of the Jews. Right? We're afraid of what others think. Oftentimes, right? We're afraid of what other people will say or do to us for the opinions we have, right? Even in Jesus' day, this was common. Oh, okay. What does chronic fear do to us? Have you ever felt fear? Yeah, can, for sure. Causes anxiety. Yeah, what else? Stress. Yeah. This whole thing we've been talking about, spiritual warfare, right? And recognizing that spiritual warfare impacts a lot of facets of our life if we let it, right? That the enemy can attack one part of us and gain access to other parts of us. So we just listed fear, but then we're listing physical things that it can do to us, right? What else does fear do? Paralyzes. What's that? Steals our faith. Yeah. Right. It can be the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, it's in the sermon here. Yeah, we'll get to it. Yeah. Hey, it's good. It's good. That's why I like, I like this. Fear weakens our immune system. Can cause cardiovascular damage, gastrointestinal problems, like ulcers, right? You're stressed. You're afraid of something. You get ulcers, right? IBS, and decreased fertility, right? That's some extra symptoms there. I went on a couple, like, health websites and tried to track down, like, what happens if you're, you know. Anyway, I won't give you the whole study because it's boring. I had to read through a few pages to get that stuff. But so why do we fear? Like, if fear does all these bad things and we recognize it, why do we fear? It's how God made us, but why? If fear is detrimental, why are we afraid of things? Survival. Right, okay. Yeah, that's basically it. Survival. There's something intelligent about being afraid of a lion. And running from it, right? Generally? Unless you know how to handle a lion and you're like David, in which case, go for it, I guess, right? Or Samson and you know, one of those guys who can tear a lion in half. But otherwise, for the rest of us who are not so accustomed to lions, we should probably take off, eh? And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Where were we here? You know, we fear things with reason. You know, these guys, the jailer in Acts 16 here, was afraid because he recognized that God had just done something. And so he comes and talks to Paul and Silas, right? For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Romans 13. You know, we talk about fear as a survival thing, but fear even comes from authority, doesn't it? If you don't pay your taxes, there's consequences, I guess, right? I mean, we all wish there wasn't any consequences. But there's a certain thing that's instilled in us, like we should pay our taxes, mostly because it's good and it helps our communities, but no, don't think I'm like pro-government or anything here. Anyway, moving on. Those who continue in sin rebuke in the presence of all, so that the rest also will be fearful of sinning. So does fear have a purpose? Yes? No? I'm going to go back and forth here on this. I'm going to mess you up today, because that's the point of these, is to look at both sides of all these things and see how the enemy abuses natural things that God's put in us for his purposes, right? So how does fear work? You're like, it's kind of obvious, isn't it, Pastor? What happens when you get afraid? What happens in you? What do you do when you're afraid? Your heart jumps? Yeah. Your heart leaps. Scary movie or something. Have you ever jumped out of your seat? Romans 13, render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, and fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Back to this thought. We only give fear to things that deserve fear, don't we? Or we should only give fear to things that warrant fear. We should only be afraid of things that deserve fear. You know, that are life-threatening or that actually are a threat to us. Have you ever been afraid of something that wasn't worth being afraid of? Like the dark? Right, Anna? Yeah, Anna's got her hand up. Yeah? When I was a teenager, we had redone our basement at our house when I was a kid. And a couple years after we had redone the basement, it flooded. And so all the panel board, and we had, you know, real schnazzy wall covering, and it was the basic vinyl panel board or something. I don't know. When it got wet, it just like bubbled all the way up the wall. It was terrible. But so the basement was not like a great, nice, fun place to be after that. It was like, it was kind of creepy, and especially if it was dark, because there wasn't like enough lighting. And so I was afraid of our basement as a kid. Like even as a 16-year-old. I was afraid of the basement because it was just creepy and it smelled gross. Like, you ever been afraid of something that didn't warrant your fear? We've all kind of been there. And we can all think of things that induced fear in us, but there was no real cause for alarm. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to be in a constant state of fear. But that's not what God calls us to. Does God call us to fear at all? Paul, you referenced a verse earlier, right? In Proverbs, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Right? So we talk about fear in this context a lot as Christians. You know, it's good. Fear is good. We need to fear the Lord. And it makes sense, right? But I want to challenge that a little bit today, maybe. That as Christians, this isn't where we're, what we're called to. Another spot where it talks about fear being good, here in John chapter 9. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Do you know the context around this? John chapter 9? It's the man who is healed of blindness. And so he's coming to the Pharisees and they're charging Jesus with being unknown to them. This man can't be from God. And so this guy's reply is, well, I'm pretty sure we know where he came from, right? I'm pretty sure we know where this guy's from. Because God doesn't hear sinners, right? And so this isn't out of Jesus' mouth. This is out of the man who had just been healed. Let's keep going. One more reference to where fear is made to sound good. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Right? So this makes sense, doesn't it? Like, fear is somewhat good, is it not? From these? Right? Well, let's keep going. Another study of, you know, I like scientific studies and how they relate to biblical concepts. Well, I read this study like 3 or 4 months ago, but it's from 2015. And there's this group of scientists in the U.S. Let me just look where they're from. Oh, they're American and British scientists, sorry. Discovered magnetic pulses. Now, what's the name they give them? Transcranial magnetic stimulation. Sounds scary, doesn't it? Sounds like something you should be afraid of. But wait. So what these guys have figured out that they can do with these transcranial magnetic stimulations, sounds weird. Originally, they intended to use it to treat depression. That sounds like a pretty cool thing. But something they just figured out that they can do as well. They figured out the part of the brain that controls fear. And they realized that they can turn off the part of your brain temporarily that controls your fear. And they can make it so you're not afraid of things. Sound scary? Sound a little weird? Maybe a little invasive? Anyways, it is. And so, in this study, the reason why it piqued my interest is that they weren't just testing people's fear of basic common things that you would be afraid of. These scientists decided to take it a step further. And they started looking into how people would respond to, you know, regular fear things, but then also asking them questions about the afterlife and about death and about God before and after going through this procedure. And they found that when they did this, when they put people through this procedure, they were less likely to talk about religion and God in a favorable way when they were asked about their death in surveys. So it was a small sample size. But it's interesting to me that the focus of these scientists was to figure out how to make people, in their mouths, the words from their mouths, less religious by attacking a part of our brain that's necessary. Would you say that fear is unnecessary? I would say it has a need for us, survival. We established that, right? And so it might be a bit to grasp at the moment, but trust me, we'll get there. So they said 32% fewer, 32% had decreased responses to do with God, angels, heaven, compared to the group who received no TMS. So 32% of the group responded less about heaven and God when they were asked about the afterlife after receiving this procedure. So I thought that was, anyways, not to go down any rabbit trails with you, but I thought it was interesting. So again, this question, does God call us to fear? Is that what he wants from us, is fear in our relationship with him? It says in that verse that we quoted in Proverbs, what was it, Paul? Yeah, fear of God is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. Fear of God is the beginning, is what it says. The beginning. It doesn't say it's the end. It doesn't say it's the middle. It says the beginning. Jesus says in Matthew 10, so do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Remember that verse we just read? It was Matthew 10, 28. So he follows up that verse about being fearful. You know, to fear the Lord above men. And then he says, but do not fear, for you are more valuable than sparrows. Right? So Jesus is saying, don't fear men. Fear God. But you don't actually have to fear God, so don't fear anything. Right? Jesus answered, the foremost is, he's talking about when the Pharisees have asked him, what's the most important thing? Right? What's the most important teaching? Foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. Right? He doesn't use the word fear. He doesn't say to fear the Lord with all your heart. He says to love him. Right? I like, after this, the Pharisee that he's talking to responds, and he said, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices, right? That love is more valuable to God than burnt offerings and sacrifices. John 1, or 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. And that's what we are. We've been perfected in God's love, right? Through Jesus. We've been made perfect. It doesn't always feel that way because we still mess up. But he has grace and he loves us. And we're made perfect in that grace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. This is Jesus again. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Right? So if fear, this is where I want to go today. If fear is the beginning of wisdom, I would say that love is the culmination of wisdom. Thanks, Tim. No, really, like, love is wisdom. Love is where it's at. Oh, man, it sounds like a song. I'm going to stop there because I don't want to break into song. Okay. But if fear is the beginning of wisdom, I just think, you know, if God could see all of these things coming, you know, and that science would figure out how to take fear out of us. And yet, that's why God desires that we wouldn't just fear him, that we would love him. That relationship would morph from one of doing what he says just because he's more powerful and stronger, but doing what he says because we love him and he's our Father. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father, Romans 8:15. Right? He's our Father. You know, and a father, as fathers, we love our kids. And sure, sometimes as dads, we use fear. It's like, you better get your room clean right now, you know, and we raise our voice and we, oh, you know, I'm going to take away your video game thing, whatever that's called, you know, right? We use fear somewhat, but that's part of discipline. That's what we read earlier. And yet the culmination of fear is the fact that our kids know that we love them. So how can we fight against fear? How do we fight against fear? From the enemy. You know, when the enemy is in your life and he's speaking, oh, you better be worried about this. Better be worried about that. Right? I don't know what the things are you're worried about. I got my own things. Right? How do we fight back? Well, let's go back to Joshua. If you got your Bible still. Jump into verse 6. It says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. So how do we fight back against fear? Well, here's one way I think, is recognizing that you have a calling. That God's called you to something special. God is calling you in particular to do something. And he wouldn't do that for no reason. Let's keep going. You get the picture. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instruction Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right nor to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Recognize that you've been equipped, right? To deal with fear, God's given you his Holy Spirit, and he's given you his word, and it's full of promises that he's made to us. It's full of promises like these ones he's given Joshua. Those promises weren't just for him, they're for you. They're for me. I pray lots of days about my speaking ability and that God would help me to be better at this because I want to be the best for you that I can. And just keeps telling me to just keep getting in here. Right? Keep pursuing him. And I don't have to go take some seminar on preaching. Right? I mean, it might be fun, but I mean, his word is good. And that's why I use so much of it, because it never comes back void. Joshua 1:9, he says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, how many of us can control when we're afraid? Can you control when you're afraid? Like if something happens and you feel afraid, did you think before you got afraid? Like did you stop and say, I should be afraid right now? Does that ever happen to anybody? Do you ever stop and think, I should probably be afraid of this? No, I don't think any of us do. We don't consciously think of being afraid, do we? So what does God mean here? Like what is he saying to Joshua? What's the takeaway? Yeah. Don't be afraid or discouraged. I think he's saying, despite the fact that you feel afraid, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to allow yourself to own that feeling. Right? We've talked a lot about the past few weeks about taking thoughts captive, right? And not letting things linger in our lives. And I think it's the same with fear. When we recognize that feeling of fear, we don't have to allow it to be a part of us. Right? Take ownership. Final thought here. That was just kind of an aside. yeah, that one was free. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, we are not alone. When we feel afraid, the greatest way to combat that fear, I think, is to recognize that God is with us. In this moment, whatever the fear is, whatever the thing is that's causing it, God's bigger than it, and he's right beside you. Some verses here about encouraging you about fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, cowardice, timidity. I had to go to a few different translations there, but I think it's important that we recognize all these things. God hasn't given us a spirit of cowardice. Have you ever heard it that way? Like, it's easy to say fear. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. But no, God hasn't given you a spirit of cowardice either. Or timidity. I like the word cowardice, though, because I think that strikes something, especially in me as a man. Like, God hasn't made me a coward. Right? It's funny, and I didn't put it in here, but in the book of Revelation, there's reference. You know how God likes to do those lists of those things that are abominable to him in Revelation? Did you know cowardice made the list? The cowardly will not be in the kingdom of God. Whew, wow. Whew, heavy, right? But good. God calls us to something more. To power, love, and discipline. Isaiah 35 says, "Say to those who are with anxious hearts, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you." Jot these down if you're struggling with fear. A couple more here. 41 verse 10 in Isaiah. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," we all know this one, "I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" Psalm 31, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord." These are for all of us. These are for each one of us. We don't have to let fear take grip in our lives, right? So what happens when we overcome our fear? Last thought, last question. How's everybody feeling? Feeling good. What happens when you overcome your fear? Victorious. Yeah. Feel safe. Secure. You know, one of the songs we sung earlier, and I almost put this in here, Joel chapter 3, verse 10. And it was in one of the songs this morning. Maybe I can't find it. But it said, in Joel chapter 3, verse 10 says, "The weak will say, I am strong." That hit me last night as I was reading through. And it talks about turning plowshares into swords. It talks about going to war. Let the strong lead, and let the weak say, I am strong. It's a pretty cool chapter, Joel chapter 3. When we overcome our fears, Paul writes about the church overcoming fear in Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. Read the whole chapter, though. Read your whole Bible. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? Paul's in jail, and he's writing to the church from jail. And they are emboldened to speak more about the gospel when their leader's in jail. I'll give you some context. It's partly because Paul, despite being in jail, is still telling all of the guards about Jesus, and they're getting saved. Right? Boldness creates boldness. Courage creates courage in others. In this time and day we live in, we need courage, not fear, not shame, not guilt. We need love and courage. So this is our final thought. Let's let love cast out fear. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this time this morning that we can dive into your word and study this idea of fear, Father, and how the enemy would use it to attack us both mentally and spiritually and physically, Father. But God, we just cast out fear right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you've given us, you've equipped us, you've given us your word, you've given us your Holy Spirit so that we can discern and we can be wise when fear and guilt and those things are healthy. And Lord, when those things are being used as a tool of the enemy to degrade and to harm us, Father. So God, we just pray this morning that we would walk in love and that we would let that love that you've given us cast out the fear that's in our hearts this morning, Jesus. God, help us just to be bold and courageous and to speak truth. And Lord, help us to dispel fear as we walk into the world around us. Lord, help us to dispel guilt and shame in people's lives. Lord, help us to be people that can speak love and life into people's hearts. God, if fear is the beginning of wisdom, Lord, thank you that love, I truly believe, is the culmination of wisdom that you've given us, Father. God, help us to love you more and help us to love our neighbors as you taught us, Jesus. Jesus, lead us and guide us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, can we get the worship team to come?
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Well, we've had a good time in church. Let's go be a church full of love that casts out fear as we walk into a room. Let's be a church that changes the atmosphere when we walk into a place. Be blessed, church. Thanks for another awesome week together.